It's an Nachum Segal Network. We call this program By the Book, brought to you by our friends at Koren Publishers. Go to korenpub.com, korenpub.com. They always provide for us some amazing authors and the wonderful brand new books. In the introduction to the Roar Family Edition Sefer Tehillim, the brand new Koren Tehillim, Matthew Miller, who is the publisher in Jerusalem, writes, "We are privileged to present the commentary of Rabbi Dr. Tzvi Hirsch Weinrib, a former community rabbi, leader of the Orthodox Union for over a decade, as well as a trained and practicing psychologist. Rabbi Weinrib brings together a deeply rooted knowledge of the traditional texts with a compassionate understanding of the human condition to provide an insightful commentary that explores the specific meaning of each psalm. Why do we turn to the psalms in particular situations? What can we learn from the circumstances under which a psalm was composed? Rabbi Weinrib has created a unique analysis which aims to guide the reader in his or her search for meaning and a more profound understanding of Tehillim." And we are honored to have with us via telephone Rabbi Dr. Tzvi Hirsch Weinrib to discuss this brand new Koren Tehillim. Rabbi Weinrib, welcome back to the Nachum Segal Network.
Thank you very much, Nachum. It's good to be here once again.
You have an introduction which is not very long per se, but I think every paragraph can be analyzed in the different things that you bring us. So if you don't mind, I'll start with that and ask you a couple of questions. It's been said, you write, that the five books of the Torah are meant to be studied, prophets are meant to be heard, Ketuvim, like Eov in the book of Esther, are meant to be read, but Tehillim, Psalms, are meant to be said. What is meant by that?
Well, the all of Tanakh, of course, is sacred. Most of Tanakh is there to be studied at one level or another. The message of the Torah is to study the Torah and to see what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants from us. Mm-hmm. The Nevi'im, their words are meant to be heard, to be taken seriously, to assimilate into our own conscience. The Ksuvim are meant to be read and to be inspired by and affected emotionally by Eov, by Megillas Esther, by Koheles, etc. But Tehillim is more than that. It's meant to be studied and heard and read, but it's also meant to be recited, to be said. It's a vehicle through which we can express our own tefillos. In fact, the Malbim writes in his Hakdama to Tehillim, which I quote quite extensively in my commentary, but the Malbim sees Tehillim as being David HaMelech's journal, as it was, his diary, which he wrote so that people for all generations could use his words to express their own needs for tefillah.
Are we giving the credit to David HaMelech? Because don't we usually say there are many authors of Tehillim?
Yeah, well, yes, there are many authors of Tehillim, and there are many kapitlach of Tehillim which explicitly say that this is a mizmor to Asaf or even a tefillah for Moshe.
Right.
But nevertheless, most of Tehillim is written by David explicitly, mizmor le David, etc., le David mizmor. And it seems that the Ruach of David appears even in the psukim that are attributed to Moshe or to Asaph or to Bnei Korach or to whomever. In English works, it's common to refer to the author of Tehillim as the psalmist,
right,
the person who wrote Tehillim. Occasionally, I do that. But especially when it's explicitly David's experiences that he's drawing upon, his own difficulties with Sheol, his battles with his own enemies, with Doeg, with Achitophel, etc. So then it's real David in action. And then I usually make something in my commentary about the fact that this is David speaking out of his own guts, out of his own emotions, out of his own experiences, sometimes in the midst of a really difficult situation, in a cave, etc. So the Ruach of David is there throughout.
And it's those situations that have led to Tehillim being known to be utilized during desperate times, when, as you point out, it's really a mix of both desperate times and joyful times.
For sure, for sure. There seems to be almost a transition from the first two-thirds or so of Tehillim, where David shares occasionally expressions of joy and simcha and triumph, but mostly it's his own prayers in times of difficulty. The last third of Tehillim is very, very different, and that's why almost all of Psukei Dezimra, which we say every day, words of song, are taken from Tehillim. Ashrei is of course the supreme example, but all of the Hallelukas is another example, and Hallel of course is another supreme example. All of those Kapitlach, which are standard songs of joy and thanksgiving, are in the second third or so of the Sefer of Tehillim.
All right, Dr. Tzvi Hirsch Weinreb is with us. We're talking about the Koren Tehillim, korenpub.com, korenpub.com. There is a, is it the content? Is it the content and how much it speaks to the individual who has a, you know, a specific type of situation, whether it be, you know, desperate or joyful? Is it that made Tehillim really number one for people to turn to in these circumstances?
Yeah, I think two things. Number one, people find, and when I say people, I mean Jewish people, observantly Jewish people who are not observant, and even, of course, Gentiles turn to Psalms regularly and are amazed by how apt the words written thousands of years ago are to their own conditions here in the 21st century. It's sometimes just amazing, number one. Number two, and this is something I try to convey with a section of my commentary, which I call meditations, personal meditations, every person gets something different from Tehillim. It's just mind-boggling sometimes how you can have two people, two learned people, and each of them approaches Tehillim and gets something else out of it. Certainly, if one compares the traditional Mefarshim, Rashi and Radak and Ibn Ezra, each of them has often a very different take on the same phrase or the same pasuk. But that's true of all readers of Tehillim. We take something else away from it. And one of my goals, if you look at the edition of Tehillim that we're discussing, what I did was every kapitel Tehillim, and there are, of course, 150 separate kapitlach or chapters, before each one, I write my own personal gut reaction to reading that specific kapitel at one moment in my life. It could be a moment when I just heard some terrible news. It could be a moment when I heard some wonderful news. I try to approach it with, this is my take at that specific moment. And I do that to encourage everyone who says Tehillim to notice how it impacts him or her, what emotional response you have to it. And therefore, I give as an example my own emotional response. It's not a commentary. It's not a translation that preface to each kapitel Tehillim. It's not a commentary. It's just a spontaneous reaction. This is what I felt at the moment I read this Tehillim on the second day of Adar in the year, you know, Tavshin Ayin Dalet or whenever it was that I wrote it. And I encourage people to do the same thing. What's your response today at this moment to this kapitel as you read it?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And that's very important to kind of personalize your response to Tehillim. That's one aspect. Then, of course, we look at traditional understandings of Tehillim. But the first step is Tehillim is made for you. It's made for you to read it and to have it express what you deeply feel, and sometimes to help you reveal to yourself what you deeply feel. Because sometimes we don't even know what we're feeling until the pasuk in Tehillim evokes it, extracts it from our emotional inner self.
That's why when it comes to regular davening, you know, daily prayer, I think more people, and this may just be something that I've internalized and that others do, they look at it more as a communal conversation with God. All of it is being, you know, shared together, so to speak. I think when it comes to Tehillim, as you just mentioned, people have more of an opportunity to make certain prayers their own. And someone may, you know, you could ask somebody, what is your favorite chapter of Tehillim, or what section of Tehillim do you turn to? It'll be very different than anyone else's answer.
That's for sure. And I think, you know, educators especially, and rabbis who are teaching adults too, are often They often hear the complaint. I'm saying the same thing every single day. Mm-hmm. You know, Ashrei, I'm saying three times a day, every day. It's lost its meaning for me. And the answer to that is, well, you've got to charge it with meaning. You've got to realize that somehow the Ashrei you say bright and early in the morning when you're just waking up is a different Ashrei from the one you say at lunchtime for Mincha and the one you say at night for Maariv. So it's your job, so to speak, to see the same words and to see how they impact you differently. And when you have that mindset, it's amazing how the same words can have sometimes very, very different meanings depending upon where you're at the moment you recite that capital of Tehillim.
And it's funny you say Ashrei, which is 145 in Tehillim, because I always feel that if somebody, just like we do as a community with Poseach HaSedech, if somebody would slow down a little bit and concentrate on just a few of those psukim that are not necessarily Poseach HaSedech, they would get a greater appreciation for what they're saying.
Yeah, that's for sure. And the interesting thing is that you can do that totally on your own. You know, Tehillim is for everyone. But it's fascinating how the Gedolei Yisrael through the generations have done just that. Lately, I've noticed that there's a plethora of Sidurim out there, all called the Sidurim of the Vilna Gaon.
Right.
There are at least six or seven that I've seen published in the past 5 or 6 years. And it's interesting, I kind of encourage everyone in the audience to do that. Look and see how many different Perushim, how many different translations or commentaries the Vilna Gaon gives to the Pasuk, Poseach es yodecha u'masbi'a l'chol chai ratzon.
Wow.
It's fascinating. You know, one of them I came across recently after the book was published, so I couldn't include it. But the Vilna Gaon says, first we ask the Ribono Shel Olam, Poseach es yodecha, open your hands. We want everything, bounty. Open your hands, the open hand of God. We want everything. But then we also realize that sometimes we're not going to get everything. Then our prayer has to be, well, let me at least be satisfied with what I got. So Poseach es yodecha is a prayer for everything. But then, u'masbi'a l'chol chai ratzon. At least let me be satisfied with whatever I do get, if I don't get everything.
Brilliant.
That's a brilliant insight. Well, the Gaon doesn't need our haskama for his brilliance. But the brilliance is that it's so simple, and it speaks to everyone. You know, we pray, of course, we want everything. Hopefully we sometimes get it, but usually we don't. And then the second half of that pasuk is so important. U'masbi'a l'chol chai ratzon. Let me, Chazal say, let me eat a little bit, but let it be mitbarechet b'me'ai. Let it at least be blessed in my belly, the little that I do get.
How important is it that David HaMelech was a lyricist, a poet, somebody who had, you know, some type of romantic edge to him, somebody who, you know, was viewed that way? Did that enhance his ability to write Tehillim and to present it?
Well, you know, the greatness of David is way beyond our ability to express. It's just amazing, just the simplest level, what a great person he was as a leader, as a general, as a person, as a father. And in my commentary, the commentary that I write after each perek is commentary, I try to relate that commentary to our own personal experiences, and occasionally I point out David's view of what the role of a father is. It's just fascinating. David was a forgiving father. He forgave Avshalom. He was a father who knew how to cry when one of his children was sick and then died. Fascinating. So David was what you would call an emotionally responsive person. He was not a dry character at all. He was very, very responsive emotionally. And he's called Ne'im Zemiros Yisrael, the person who is the author of the pleasant author of the songs of Israel. So Chazal noted that this was a person who was a poet. They may not use the word poet, poem, but every Kapitel Tehillim, is a poem of the highest level. And I should make mention here of the translation. My role is to write in this book is I wrote the meditations before each chapter and the commentary after each chapter.
Right.
But the actual translation was written many years ago, about 30 years ago, by a man who since passed away named Rabbi Eli Kashdan. Kashdan, who was a Brit, who was from Great Britain, and his translation was recommended to us at Koren by Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, who is certainly an expert on what is a good English translation. Rabbi Kashdan's translation is also very helpful, especially because it's very, very poetic. It's not just a dry translation telling you what the words mean. It itself is a work of poetry. There's no question that you can look at David in so many of his roles, beginning as a shepherd and then becoming a warrior and then becoming a king and, of course, a husband and a father. But his role as a poet is the central core of every single word of Tehillim. And again, in my opinion, even those kapitel which are attributed to other people still have David's spirit in them. You know, perhaps he edited it or improved it or stylized it in some way. We don't know. But the fact that those chapters are included in Tehillim give them the imprint that this is part of David's mentality, David's ideas, David's lyrical poetry.
Rabbi Dr. Tzvi Hirsch Weinrib, commentary on the brand new Koren Tehillim. All right, Rabbi Weinrib, I'll put you on the spot. If there is a chapter, one we say every Shabbos, one we say every day, one that's really common out there, that you wish people would appreciate more or would be able to, you know, slow down and understand just how precious it is, which one would it be? We spoke about Ashrei, so let's choose a different one.
Okay. I was about to respond with Ashrei because that's my personal favorite, and that's obviously the Kapitel Tehillim that we say most often. But the one that I would suggest is, let me think, it's a very, very good question. How about Mizmor Memtes,
okay.
Psalm 49?
I'm with you. Go ahead.
Which is the psalm which we say at a shiva house.
Right.
So it's a psalm, it's a Kapitel Tehillim, which is obviously meant to focus on the feelings that are out there and in the open in a house of shiva. There were also words of comfort, but there are also words of making a person realize that life is ephemeral, life is fleeting, life passes by quickly, and kind of to confront a person with the true meaning of life as well as with the tragedy of death. So it's Kapitel Memtes. And it's interesting, if it happens to be in our edition on page 241.
Right. Yeah, I see it here.
And like I mentioned, before each kapitel, I write a meditation.
Yeah. I'm trying to understand this one.
Okay. This one's a little different. But it's my own experience. When I was a teenager, I used to walk with a friend of mine. We were then in our philosophical stage of life. And there's a cemetery not far from Borough Park where I grew up, along the, I guess it's the lower end of Borough Park cemetery. It's not even a Jewish cemetery, although there are some Jewish people buried there. And so I write, we strolled along the old cemetery's path every sunny Sunday. We passed unmarked graves and modest headstones. We stared at monuments. We studied wordy tributes on mausoleum doors. If you stroll through a cemetery, and we've all strolled through a cemetery or walked through a cemetery at one time, the variety of graves is very striking. I know where my parents and my grandparents are buried when we try to go there every Elul, and there are it's a section, for example, of children who died very young. And sometimes those children died so young they weren't even named yet, and all they have is little stones in the ground and a date and maybe a word like Hayeled or Hayalda. But then there are also these huge monuments which aren't so traditional for most people. However, for great tzaddikim, the custom now is to build an ohel, a build structure around their grave. So you see this the variety. And that's one thing that strikes you, the difference of people, different ages of people, different the different responses in terms of the monuments that were built for them, some with just a name, some with a poem, some with a posuk, some with a picture you even see nowadays, photographs of the deceased on it. And the newest grave, all right, was dug long before I was born. And this gives you a kind of a perspective going through a cemetery of how much time has gone by of history, of the past. And all the dead there were forgotten and unnoticed. This cemetery that I'm speaking about is no longer very much in use. Even wasn't even when I was a kid. The latest grave was in the early 1900s. So we can assume certainly 100 years later, the people buried there are forgotten and unnoticed, except on sunny Sundays when me and my pal walked by there. And, of course, we had no personal connection to the dead person. So this freelance poem or meditation that I wrote is just a way of getting in touch with what it means to walk through a cemetery, what it means to be in touch with the dead, etc.
You know, it's funny, as you say all this, that they used to say about my father that he was a great orator, but he was best at funerals. It's funny that I ask you about David HaMelech and we end up speaking about death, like as if this was his number one topic.
Well, for sure, it was not his number one topic. David was very capable of saying, Oshiro Lashem b'chayai. David relished life, but David was a realist, and he knew what death was. But this specific capital Tehillim begins, Lam Natzeach Livnei Korach Mizmor.
Right.
So it's not David's major contribution. It's one of a series of capitals of Tehillim, which was written by the Bnei Korach. And the Bnei Korach, they understood a lot about death. They actually were in Gehenim. You know, the Medrash says that there was a makom in Gehenim that was kind of allowed them to climb up out of the fires of Gehenim and survive. So they knew a great deal about death, and of course they taught us about it in this capital. And you know, just kind of browsing through the capital at random. So it begins, Shimu Zos Kolo Amin.
Right.
Hear this, all you people. Because death, it's not just for one nation or one ethnic group or one segment of the Jewish people. Shimu Zos Kolo Amin, it's a part of humanity. Hazinu Kol Yoshvei Cholet. Hear this, all you inhabitants of the world. We have to make this message. Now, there's a joke, a Yiddish joke. We often don't realize, not often, but most of our lives, we live as if we were never going to die.
Right.
That's our assumption. Yeah. I'm going to live forever.
The tendency.
And then, but in Yiddish, they say, I heard this many times at funerals, you know, with an old friend of mine who was by his friend's funeral. His friend was 75, and he was, I don't know, 77. So he said, well, es ist du a chevre starbes. There's a chevre of people who die, aber ich bin nicht in der chevre. I'm not in that club, you know. I'm not in the club of those who die. Which, of course, is we all delude ourselves into thinking that. And the point of saying this particular capital in a house of velos, a house of mourning, a shiva house, is, hey, wake up, buddy. This is going to happen to you too one day. It's certainly something that has to be taken into consideration. And there are no words to express this, the frailty, the fragility, the mortality of mankind than this capital memtes. So even though we tend to say it, you know, only in a house of shiva, or when we're saying, you know, many people have custom of saying a certain number of kapitlach every day, this is one that really bears a special attention, because sometimes it's the root of so much of our mistakes as human beings is that, you know, we think we're going to live forever. We're going to be here forever, and we're not. You don't have to harp on this. It shouldn't be obsessed by death, but it's good every once in a while to take out the old Tehillim and study and reflect and meditate on Kapitel Memtes on Psalm 49.
And if you go just two chapters ahead, another very famous one, because we say it every Rosh Hashanah when we blow the shofar, also a Lam Natzeach Livnei Korach Mizmor.
Yep. And there too, you have a perfect example of something which, for you know, for people who daven and go to shul, etc., this is something they see. Well, this is Rosh Hashanah Dick, you know.
Right.
But it's not Rosh Hashanah Dick. It's something to look at more often than just once a year, because it has a very, very important message, very different from the message of mortality.
And by the way, a very important message for these days, as so many of us are convinced that what's happening in this world is leading to the point where God will, in fact, rule the entire world and be recognized as such very soon.
Yeah, well, for sure. But one of the sub-themes of that capital is the international politics, so to speak, the turmoil of warring nations,
right.
and the ultimate resolution of that turmoil, which there's certainly turmoil now, and we can only pray for its speedy resolution.
The introduction and commentary in the brand new current Tehillim is by Dr. Tzvi Hirsch Weinrib. A couple of things, we have a minute or two remaining. Do we say Tehillim on Shabbos or not? And I mean, as because I know that people who say it every day, of course, include Shabbos. But I was always told that when it comes to a tragic period of time or somebody who's being prayed for, who's not well, that Tehillim should not be said on Shabbos. What's the story with that?
Well, you know, it's a halachic issue, and on Shabbos we refrain from zakah, from screaming and crying and pleading with God. But there are obviously exceptions to that rule. Generally speaking, if something is at Sarah Sarabim, if it's a national crisis of some sort, all of Am Yisrael is in trouble, then we say Tehillim even on Shabbos. And in some dire emergencies, we will say Tehillim even for an individual person.
Right.
So it is a rule, but like every rule, there are exceptions to the rule. Since you mentioned, you know, Tehillim in an ace tzora, Tehillim
right.
in a time of difficulty, of tragedy, of threat, that, of course, is one function of Tehillim. But what I try to convey in my meditations and in my commentary in both parts of the book is Tehillim is for everything. And Tehillim is not just, there's a terrible problem, you know, let's say Tehillim.
Right.
Tehillim is constant, and it's incorporated in the davening that way, etc. And that's why there are so many people. It's one of my earliest memories. I knew my great-grandmother, my mother's mother's mother, Aleha Shalom. She passed away when I was 10 or 11 years old. And, she, you know, she would say Tehillim every morning. And what she had in mind, I now understand, was the Holocaust.
Right.
Because we're talking about the Holocaust years. That those are the years that I remember her most vividly. I didn't know what the Holocaust was then. I was a baby, practically. But she was saying Tehillim for the Holocaust. But then she went on saying Tehillim in the years after the Holocaust. She died in the early 1950s. Tehillim was part of life. It's her response to life, to the ups and downs of life. So, yes, Tehillim, of course, is something we say. Let's say Tehillim because it's an emergency now. But that's not the only function of Tehillim. Tehillim is, I like to use the word, Tehillim is existential.
Right.
It has to do with the existence of the human being in all times and all circumstances and all situations.
Rabbi Weinrib's commentary is brilliant, as you would suspect. The Rohr Family Edition Tehillim, the Koren Tehillim, it's brand new. Rabbi Weinrib, we are out of time. Thank you so much for joining us. What a pleasure to always speak with you.
Thank you. Very good. Be well.
Rabbi Dr. Tzvi Hirsch Weinrib here at the Nachum Segal Network. This is an edition of By the Book, brought to you by our friends at Koren Publishers. The brand new Koren Tehillim is available. It's highly recommended. And Rabbi Weinrib, as you heard, has spent many, many hours giving a tremendous commentary and providing a tremendous commentary to enhance our saying of Tehillim. Check it out online, all of Koren's amazing works, korenpub.com, K-O-R-E-N pub.com, K-O-R-E-N pub.com. You're listening to the Nachum Segal Network.